good afternoon and happy Sabbath to you. And when I was here, we're glad to see those who have been away. We're glad to see that they have come back for the brother who is contemplating where God wants to place him. We're glad to have you here. As I've grown in my spiritual life, I have come to learn that God affirms what he would like for you to say. And then in the children's story, as Wanda was talking about the different agents used in cleansing and having Jesus to cleanse our hearts. So that is an affirmation that he's speaking to me, that this is what, you know, I need to say, because I don't want to get up here and give idle words. I want it to be the word of God, and I want it to be something that would uplift us through the week and that would most of all draw us closer to God. Let us pray. We are thine, O Lord. We have heard thy voice, and it's told your love for us. To you, O Lord, who are the creator of all things. To you, O Lord, who has forgiven us our sins. You who have given us grace freely, but that grace was not cheap, Lord. It cost the blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. But he willingly did it for us. Now, Father, as we come, we ask that you would let your spirit abide with us, Lord. I ask that you would anoint my mouth, Lord, my thought process, that you would help me, Lord, to speak what it is that each individual needs and that I need for myself. Lord, we know that you are a good God. Sometimes it boggles our mind, Lord, how you've been able to merge mercy and justice, but you did it through your Son. So now, Lord, we give all praise and honor and glory to you. We give it in the name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, that he who is our perfect model, he who loved us unto death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, when I was thinking of the subject and I was reading, had been doing some reading in Sister White, and she talked about being consecrated to God. So as always that I do, you know, is I go to the dictionary. First of all, I go to Webster, and then I have a strong dictionary, so I went to it also. And Webster says that consecration, it's the noun form of the verb to consecrate, which is defined as dedicated or devoted to a sacred purpose. To devote to a purpose with a deep dedication. The Strong Dictionary says that it is a fulfilling, it is a setting apart, it is to perfect. We all realize that only God can take that which is ordinary, that which is common, and make it sacred. We know this because he did it with the Sabbath. And also he did it with the institution of marriage. However, he can impart to us, his creatures, his crown and glory here on earth, the desire to seek consecration. Our scripture for today, and the scripture that Sandy read, you know, when I was studying the message, that was one of those scriptures that stuck to my heart. You know, I have, and this, I'll tell you, you know, there were favorites that I had. But that was the one that stuck to my heart. And I'm going to read it again out of the New King James Version. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart." And that was, for me, the crown and affirmation that when I was studying this message, that it was the right message, because I was searching for him with all of my heart. The whole heart must be yielded to God, or the change can never be worked in us that God would like to have. And that change is to restore us to his likeness, to consecrate us for his work. The direction I'm taking today on consecration is we've been dedicated to and for a sacred purpose, to be restored to the likeness of Christ. How do we do this when Scripture states that we are dead in trespasses to sin, the whole heart is sick, that the whole heart fainteth? We are held in the snare of Satan. He has taken us captive to do with us as he will. That is our natural state as human beings. And those scriptures were taken, and I like to give you scripture because I want you to know these aren't my words. Those scriptures were taken from Ephesians 2 and 1, from Isaiah 5, 1 verses 5 and 6, 2 Timothy 2, 26, and 1 Timothy 3 and 7. But scripture also relates to us the plan of salvation. It details to us the sacrifice that Jesus made for our redemption, for our reconciliation, and for our justification. Isaiah 53 and 12 puts it this way: "He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore our sins. He made intercession for the transgressors." And that verse that we all know so well, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God desires to consecrate us to his likeness in Jesus Christ. But since this requires an entire transformation, a renewing of our whole nature, we must yield ourselves wholly to him. Jeremiah again, 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." The warfare against self and surrendering all to God, it is a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness, before it can be given as consecrated to him. The natural man does not let go, and I don't know about you, but I struggle with this every day. You know, that natural man does not die or let go easily. It seeks to elevate self. It seeks a life of ease and lack of responsibility. It seeks fame. It seeks fortune. It seeks worldly honors. It assumes, "Oh, I'm not that bad." And as Christians, sometimes we think, quote, quote, "I have arrived." God sets before us the heights of blessings which he desires to bring into our lives through the grace that he has given us. He invites us to give ourselves to him that he may work his will in us. However, it remains for us to choose whether we will be set free from the bondage of sin so that we can accept the glorious liberty, our liberation that God has given to us. And giving ourselves to God for consecration, we must give up all that separates us from Him. Now, you know that word, that three-letter word, you know, it says if, but that three-letter word, A-L-L. We must give up all that separates us from Him. And I think in one of the Sabbath school lessons that sort of, I think, talked about this yielding, you know, I discovered that when we give or surrender to God, that is one time where you can say that victory is gained through defeat, because we gain the victory in Christ by allowing Him to defeat self. And giving ourselves to Him again, we must give up all. In fact, Luke 14:33 states, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now that is a very strict declaration there. But when Christ dwells in our hearts, then we are willing to give up that for Him. You know, Satan wants us to believe that God wants us to just surrender to Him blindly and without any reasoning. But here again, when this is another one of my favorite verses, you know. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, "Come now, let us reason together." So, you know, God wants you to question Him. But then when He shows you in His word, He wants you to accept by faith what He has given to us. God does not ever want His creatures to doubt that He loves them. He wants His creatures to come to Him willingly. He will not force us. You know, that is the one thing that God will not do. He will not force our will. And some will say, and you know, I know like me, sometimes I used to say, "Well, Lord, why don't you make me do right?" But you know what? God can't accept the worship. He can't accept homage that is not willingly and freely given to Him. God has set before us the heights of His blessings which He desires to bring to us. And He tells us that we must choose. That is one thing that He has given to us, is choice. So, you know, I think about Joshua, you know, as he was going to lead the children over. He said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." So the choice is always ours to consecrate ourselves to God. And when we consecrate ourselves to God, Christ will dwell in the heart. The soul will be filled with the love for Him. We would want to commune to Him as friend to friend. How many of you have a best friend? How many of you have that person that you just pour out your heart to them? For those of us that's married, we hope it's our spouse. Not always, but we hope that that's who it is. But I think all of us has that. And that is the kind that you think of that relationship. Just, you know, put it exponentially, you know, to the millionth power. And that's the kind of relationship that Christ wants us to have with Him. He wants us to love, to be in His presence. He wants us to love to commune with Him. He wants us to tell Him about our problems. But He also wants us to give Him praise for the joy that He brings into our lives. You know that when Christ's love dwells in our hearts, we as Christians should spring to action. We will not ask how little is it that we can do for God. We will not also ask what is the minimum requirement And you know, I'm so proud of Christian. You know, she didn't have to have a 3.4 to graduate from high school. So she wasn't seeking the minimum requirement. And that's what God does. He's not asking for us, you know, as Christians, we don't ask, what is the least I can do? And I don't know about you, you know, but I'm guilty. I am really guilty sometimes of that, is a saying, well, I've done this, I don't need to do any more. And I don't know about that. So I'm asking God to come into my life to change that, that I want to do my very best for him. I want to give to him the best that I have. I want to aim for that perfect conformity to his will. You know that as God asked us to do things, as God asked us to give up things, he doesn't ask us to give up anything that is in our best interest. You know, if he asked us to give it up, that means he has something better planned for us, or that it may be detrimental to our spiritual growth. So he does not ask us to give up anything that is in our best interest to retain it. In all that he does, he has the well-being of his children, just as Mike and Wanda have the well-being of their two daughters there. That's what God has for us, our well-being. He wants his children to view him as a loving and compassionate God, a God who has emptied heaven of his most precious gift, that we will be able to spend eternity about him. As Lillian taught today in the lesson about heaven, you know, what is our, how do you envision heaven? You know, what is it? Are you looking to go there? Are you asking Christ to come in and to consecrate your heart and to clean you? So you will be, whether you be the dead that is risen or for those who are living that are caught up in the air. I don't know about you, but I am really looking for Jesus to come again. I am really looking for him to come again. You know, there can be no joy for us as Christians found in any path that we take, any deed that we do, that God has forbidden for us to do. Because he, as again it states in Jeremiah, he knows what is best for us. He says he has a plan for our lives. And that plan is to prosper us, is a plan to give us hope and a future. I don't know, have you seen anyone who has been without hope? You know, that is a sad, that was the first time that I was able to understand how someone could commit suicide. You know, for me, that had always phantomed, you know, I said, I just don't understand that. But then I realized that a person with no hope, and you know, as Christians and all of us, when we come in contact with youth, that is one thing that we need to give them, is we need to give them hope, and that there is hope found in Jesus Christ, that blessed hope that is found in Jesus Christ. You may be asking yourself, though, how am I to make this surrender of myself to God? How am I to let him consecrate me? I don't know about you, but I desire to give myself to God, but then my flesh takes over and I become weak. I am in slavery to doubt sometimes, and I'm controlled by addictive habits. Mine is food. I don't know what anybody else's is. I make promises and resolutions to God, and they're like the grain of sand. As you see them sifting through, they just fall through. I can't keep them. My thoughts, my impulses, my sincerity are all forfeited pledges that I've made to God. I want to be and to do good, but I can't. Now, I've come to the point that I know that God has and will accept me. But then there are some people that we witness to feel like that, I don't think God can accept me in this condition. I don't think that he can love me because of all that I have done. No, we can't change our hearts. No, we can't control our affections. But you and I can choose to serve God. We can give him our will, our decision, because the power of choice God has given to all of us. It's a choice that he will not force. It is a choice that we must exercise. And when we give God our wills, then our hearts, our minds, our affections, they will follow because we have surrendered all that we have to him. God then will work in us to do his will according to his good pleasure. Thus your whole nature can be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered on him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with his thoughts. By yielding up our will to Christ, an entire change comes over our lives. In fact, I think again in a Sabbath school, and you know, every time I say that they can't get any better with the Sabbath school lessons, they go up a notch. You know, and one of the things in there, the question that made me really think, it said, the question was, how has grace changed your life? You know, that's a personal question that each of us should ponder and meditate on. How has grace changed our lives? What is it that has made us different? What is it that makes us want to choose to serve God? Because again, it is a choice that we make. By the righteousness of your will, you and me, you and I, ally ourselves with this God who is omnipotent, who is all-powerful, this God who is omnipresent, this God who can be present everywhere. You know, it fathoms your mind how God can listen to, you know, I'm just thinking that how God can listen to everybody's prayers in this church at one time, but yet to the whole universe. And not only this, because even though the other worlds have not fallen, they still give him praise. So, you know, it just boggles your mind how he does that. But he does that. And that we ally ourselves with a God who is omniscient. He is all-knowing. And I don't know about you, but that gives me some security. That gives me some joy in knowing that, Lord, I don't see what's out here, but I know that you know. And I know that you'll do everything in your power to direct my steps according to your word. I know that. So that can give us that security and that peace, though the clouds may cover. And I say this for our church, you know, there is sickness in this church here, and we do not say it. He's shown us one miracle, and he said, you know, that he's not a God who's partial, you know. So we've seen it with Sister Mary, you know. And as Jerry was sharing with me about that, when they went to the doctor, you know, the doctor was talking about he didn't know what it was, if it was dying, whether, you know, what caused her to be, you know, not to see it, or if it was divine intervention. You know, Mary kept saying, it's divine intervention. You know, I'm not going to let you get away with that. I'm not going to let you steal God's glory. That it was divine intervention that healed her. So, you know, that is the security that we who are in Christ, we have that. And that is a blessing for us to have. Your will needs to be brought under control of his Spirit. It needs to be consecrated to serve him, because you have been restored to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Consecrate us now, Lord, to thy service by the power of grace divine. May our souls look up in steadfast hope, and our will be lost in thine. Draw us nearer, Lord, draw us nearer, nearer to your side. Draw us nearer, Lord, that each day we look at you who is our perfect model, and we say, not would I do this as a Christian, but what did Christ show us to do? Lord, we ask that you would let your Holy Spirit abide with us. We ask and we surrender ourselves, Lord, to you. We surrender our will. We choose to serve you. We choose to let you consecrate us to your service, Lord. We choose to be a witness. Now help us, Lord, to be a light to those that we come in contact with. Help us to say to someone who may have no hope, Jesus loves you. Come to him as you are. Just choose to serve him. And then let him restore you to the likeness of his son. Lord, we ask now that you would bless each home as they leave this place, Lord. We ask that your blessings go with them and with their families. Be with us, Lord. And Lord, sanctify us for thy service. This we ask in the precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.